I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I love the Raiders. Most of all, I love to win.
You're now listening to State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Deshaun Reed on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Derek Carr, at some point, is going to walk into Arrowhead Stadium and have the game of his life and win them a game.
So the runs in motion, fake it, Carr whips it, end zone, touchdown! A hot pass handled by Darren Waller. And the Raiders' offense is alive and well. Carr airs it out. Separation. Hauled in. Henry runs. The speed. Touchdown.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation post-game edition here on the Athletic Podcast Network. Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Ted Nguyen, and Deshaun Reed. After the Raiders went into Kansas City, went into Arrowhead Stadium, and beat the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs 40-32, Derek Carr gets his first ever win in Arrowhead Stadium. The defense, after a rough first half, really locked it down, only allowed 8 points in the second half. Just as impressive a Raiders win as we probably have seen since John Gruden returned to the Silver and Black.
Yeah, it's a big, big day for Derek Carr. I just think, you imagine, you look back at all the heat he's taken over the years. He can't win against Kansas City and some of these tough losses he's had. And just to outplay Mahomes and just kind of, the interception early on, but obviously he bounced back and made some great throws. And I think people now can finally stop questioning just the future of Derek Carr and John Gruden together.
It's not even just that Derek Carr won. I mean, like, quarterback wins are, whatever. It's obviously not just up to them whether the team wins or loses, but it's the manner in which he just kind of, like, carried the offense today. I mean, he averaged over 11 yards per attempt, which for somebody who's, labeled as, a check down artist, is pretty incredible. He had the bad interception, but he made up for it with those three touchdowns. He didn't hesitate to take shots down the field. Obviously on the interception, he took one too many shots down the field. And so he came out really aggressive today. And that's something that I think fans, over the course of his career have been, since that 2016 season, at least, they've been desperately asking for. And so I just think, him kind of coming out and leading the team to victory, not just kind of being an accessory along the way, is makes it even much of a bigger deal for him.
He had some trouble with this similar style of defense against the Patriots, where they'll double certain guys and give other guys one-on-one matchups. And he really did a good job of finding those one-on-one matchups. And it helps having Henry Ruggs back on the field, obviously. But he was aggressive. When he had those one-on-ones, he took his shots downfield. And like you said, 11 yards per attempt is huge. And this is a Derek Carr that Raider fans want to see, a guy that's aggressive and takes shots. And it paid off in a big way today.
Yeah, we joked about it in the middle of the week when I said that he's due to have a big game there. He's got to do it at some point. But, and then the other thing was, okay, he had never played a game there earlier than December, and maybe getting him there and in a warmer weather, kind of normal football climate might help him. And who knows how much any of that factors in. But the fact that he had played there 6 previous times and they were all December or January games, it's pretty surprising that that's just how the schedule worked out. Nice to just see him have an opportunity to just really go out there and not have to worry about the conditions, not have to worry about a hostile fan environment. Obviously, 16,000 or so people there, and just really show what he can do. And I mean, it doesn't prove that he's going to be able to take this team in there in the playoffs and win a game, but still just a really great step in the right direction.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was feeling himself in the post game press conference, man. He came in there, first 2 questions he couldn't stop smiling. Man. I hadn't seen it that happy since I've been on the beat. It was something to see.
Like I said, a lot of the players in this team weren't here in 2016. There's so much turnover on this roster. So a lot of guys have heard about Derek Carr's MVP-type season, but they hadn't really seen it. So today I think it's good these guys can see, that's the Derek Carr I heard about from 2016, because I think he's got his mojo back a little bit. I think it was a nice win for him and younger guys to have more confidence in his abilities going forward.
And he made some plays out of structure, too. There was a few plays where the first few reads weren't there, and he had to kind of improvise on his own. He made those plays, and he almost had a huge play to Richard. It was just a little off, but that would have been huge. But still, the Raiders got a field goal out of that drive, and they won the game.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the aggressiveness, and, you know, you look at that interception, and that was a moment where everybody was like, oh, look, you know, what are they doing? But, you know, you got to kind of like, I was encouraged by the mentality of it. We had seen him throw the ball deep to Ruggs, and it was a little bit underthrown. I don't think those guys at that moment were quite in sync yet. A little bit underthrown, Ruggs makes a great catch. And there's a third and one where everybody has been screaming, be aggressive, be aggressive. They were. It was an aggressive mistake, but I at least kind of liked the mentality of it, and they kept that going throughout the entire game. And, you know, I know Gruden referenced with number 15 with Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline. That's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah, on that third and one, they actually doubled Hunter Renfro on a shallow, which is kind of funny. They left nobody in the middle of the field, and Ruggs took advantage of it. And, you know, that's what you want to see as the Raiders go along, is Carr taking advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves.
Then how about the other side of the ball, the defense? I mean, they gave up 32 points, but still, I think they played pretty well second half. I think they gave him a chance to win. I liked how Derek kind of gave a shout-out to Paul Gunther, his buddy who gets probably as much grief on Twitter as Derek does. So I thought the two guys had a nice little moment.
So you couldn't have paid me to believe that, like, in any point in this game, the defense would force three punts and then an interception all in a row against the Chiefs.
You know, the pass rush, you know, was actually getting there and bothering Mahomes. You know, I mean, I was stunned that one time when Max Crosby gets him from behind, just because you've seen so many times Mahomes has this ability to just read the pressure and find a way to make a play. And when you see Crosby get to him, you just saw him. They were actually, you know, he was actually feeling the Raiders defense. I mean, this is the first time probably in a while that a quarterback has really, you know, felt that pressure. And whatever they did at halftime to kind of change things up, you know, whether they were pretty vanilla in the first half and then kind of changed it up at halftime, I mean, it worked. And that's impressive.
Yeah, Clelin Ferrell, I mean, we criticize him a lot, but he had a huge game today. He made plays in a run game and had a few really nice pressures today. He was definitely a huge factor in pressuring Mahomes.
He had a lot of success inside. I wonder even, you know, when Malik Collins comes back, if he doesn't start playing better soon. I mean, the way they rushed the passer today, you would have to think that maybe that becomes, you know, something they do a lot more often, putting Ferrell inside and putting Key or Nassib out there. I mean, you know, I know Malik Collins, you know, the team captain, and they're expecting big things for him. But if he doesn't start producing soon, it seems like the move you have to make on defense.
You know, Vic, you wrote on Saturday about, you know, the ways the Raiders could win this game. And really what you were referencing there wasn't necessarily actually winning the football game.
It wasn't? I thought it was. I thought I was picking him to win. No, I'm just kidding.
And what's funny is that, like, I think they all read the headline and just they didn't notice that the win was in quotes, and they all thought that you were giving an outline of how they're going to win, and they were telling you how ludicrous that was. Yet, you know, all of us who picked them to lose were terrible, and we're all negative for picking them to lose. But I mean, what you were writing about was there were ways, even if they didn't win, that they could build confidence, could kind of build something in this team going into the bye week. Obviously, they checked a lot of those boxes and they got the win. Now they're 3-2. They've played a schedule through five games. Every team kind of going into the Sunday night game and Monday night games, every team they've played is 500 or better with a combined record of 15-7. And they're 3-2 through that. Pretty impressive. And they've got a lot to build off of.
Yeah, I think looking at ahead, you know, the schedule when it came out, we're all thinking if they get two wins these first five games, it'll be great. There they are, 3-2, and they've beaten their biggest, you know, almost their rival, but their target, the team that they're chasing in the AFC West, the Chiefs. So it's great for their confidence. I think the offense, we've said all along, should be explosive. In the show today, they have all the reasons to be, you know, one of the top offenses in the league. They have good quarterback, a great O-line. Trent Brown's back today. Josh Jacobs is a top 10 running back. Darren Waller is a top three or four tight end. And Ruggs stretches the field, which is what you want, and it gives guys more opportunities. So the offense is good enough for the defense. Doesn't have to be that good. Defense just has to be a couple, you know, mediocre or make some plays here and there, and they should be in pretty good shape.
You forgot Alec Ingold, the receiving threat fullback.
Yeah, he's been good this year in those kind of situations.
Yeah, he's a weapon.
He's a legitimate athlete. I mean, he's hurdled guys. I saw him juke somebody today. You know what I'm saying? So they've thrown downfield, like intentional, like not Josh Allen kind of downfield pass to a fullback, but they actually tried it today. It almost worked for a second. So
they threw it to him against a defensive back too, which is saying something.
They went out of bounds, but he had a step.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We talk about Ruggs and what I think is special about him and what he brings to this defense, to this offense, is he was targeted three times and yet he was a huge factor in the game. Like, I'm sure they would like to see those targets increase, obviously, but as Gruden said, you know, we didn't bring him here to run hitch routes. Two catches, 118 yards, has the 72-yard touchdown. I will apologize for calling Nelson Agholor serviceable. He definitely looked more than serviceable there on that 59-yard touchdown. So I'll apologize to him for that. Renfro had the 42-yard catch on that 3rd-and-18 play. You know, as we were just all kind of getting done scratching our heads about them on 2nd-and-20 throwing a screen pass to Jason Witten. Ruggs' presence opens up so much more on this offense, especially when you have Darren Waller, who also is a guy that takes away attention and opens up stuff. It's really special to see how a guy doesn't have to get a ton of targets to make a difference.
Yeah, I think John said after the game he wants him to get even more targets, but I think I'm sure once he catches two deep balls, the Chiefs' focus probably changed a little bit. Hey, we can't let that happen again. So I'm sure the Chiefs were paying more attention to him after those plays happened. But again, just like you said, the result is huge. I mean, Waller has more space to operate, and Waller's tough to deal with anyway. And again, see, Josh Jacobs now a big role out of the backfield today, but he definitely has the skills to catch some balls. So there's a lot of options for Derek Carr. I think that's why you got to be, if you're a Raiders fan, you got to be excited about the rest of the season.
I do think they could benefit from, you know, throwing the ball to Ruggs on some shorter routes. I don't know if they've had a slant completed to him this season, just off the top of my head. Obviously, he hasn't played every game, but I think I would like to see more slants and maybe some screens going his way.
And just going back to giving the defense a lot of credit for stopping the Chiefs, I saw Crosby said that they intentionally made the coverages and pressures repetitive in the first half, and then they mix it up in the second half. I just thought that was a pretty brilliant way to kind of negate Andy Reid's ability to adjust in the second half, because we all know he makes great second half adjustments, and the Chiefs are a really good second half team, but they kind of made themselves look vanilla so the Chiefs would prepare for those vanilla defenses and adjust it to those vanilla defenses, and then they go out in the second half and kind of switch things up. So I thought that was pretty brilliant, and just a really good game for Gunther, who has been kind of under fire. Vic making fun of his butt getting warm and all this stuff all season.
Stop.
He put an ice pack on the bum today. Ice pack on the bum.
We've gone from questioning his job security to saying he's brilliant. Wow.
I don't know if I buy the first half. Like, yeah, we were going to give up 24 points and a half on purpose. Nah.
It's a great strategy. It's brilliant. They'll never see it coming. They'll score on us at will.
This is a positive.
Let's change
this
it
is
up.
A positive episode. I know we've been doom and gloom, but get the hell out of here.
Exactly. Raider fans want more positivity. Brilliant.
I mean, you've got to love when you look at the offensive balance, 35 rushing attempts, 31 pass attempts. You know, Josh Jacobs, it's like his final stat line a lot of times this year doesn't wow you. 23 carries, 77 yards, 3.3 yards per carry. But like when you watch him, like it doesn't feel like that's his stat line, right? It seems like he always gets he's just such a hard runner that he tends to get the yards that you need. And then Devontae Booker, I mean, this guy has just been really an underrated signing, has been a tremendous backup running back for them. 7 carries, 62 yards, had that 43-yard run, you know, end up with 144 total yards rushing, 347 passing. I mean, that's just such great balance, and that's nice to see for Gruden and that group.
Yeah, it's just so weird looking back to what the whole Riddick thing last week against the Bills instead of Booker. I mean, Booker had done so well. I thought have a bigger role as they want to run the ball more against the Bills, and he vanishes, but he's back today with, you know, with some thunder. So I think that's a great 1-2 punch. I think that's a good enough running attack to really do some damage this year.
They're purposely trying to get Jacobs less touches too, because he was in a top three in just overall touches, and they're trying to get him some rest and trying to preserve him for the rest of the season. So I think Booker having some success and proving that he could be more than serviceable when he comes in is going to pay dividends later in the season.
Yeah, and I like to see that even when they got behind this week early on, you know, they fell behind 14-3, they didn't abandon the run. That was something that I think against the Patriots and then last week against the Bills, they did a little bit too quickly when they got behind by two scores. They kind of just started throwing the ball, you know, overwhelmingly compared to running it. And they really stuck with it this week, and I think it paid off, even though it wasn't Jacobs every time. You know, as we just said, you know, Booker had a big game. And so, and not to say that they have to run the ball more than they throw every single game, but I do think they need to be closer to that 50-50 split.
Yeah, they came out right after falling down 14-3. They go to Booker, 7 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, first down. Then a short pass to Booker for 5 yards. And then, boom, after kind of softening them up with Booker, they hit Aguilar for the 59-yard touchdown. So really, they kind of stuck to their script, and they're not, you know, they didn't panic or anything like that. And just overall, I think this was just a really well-coached game by John Gruden and really well-executed game by Derek Carr and a lot of those guys on offense. And obviously the defense in the second half.
Brilliant by Paul Gunther. Brilliant.
Brilliant game plan. We'll see if he could continue this.
You said it was brilliant. You didn't say game plan. You said it was brilliant.
Well, I did not expect them to stop the Chiefs more than one or two times, and they did their job today. So who knows? Maybe the secret to the Raiders' defense is play Jeff Heath more.
Jeff Heath, Daytone Jones, Chris Smith. I mean, guys that came that they brought up to kind of give them defensive depth. I mean, Chris Smith had a sack. Jones made some plays. I mean, they really got, you know, contributions from guys that we didn't really expect.
I'm sure the Chiefs were shocked too. I'm sure the Chiefs are like, who the hell is Chris Smith? And they found out. So, I mean, I don't know if it was maybe a little overconfidence in the Chiefs' part. I'm sure the Chiefs thought they had it under control the whole time, and they realized probably too late they were in trouble. But yeah, I think it's just a great win as far as makes, you know, shaking up the whole AFC West and seeing what happens the rest of the way.
I looked at the roster, like the pregame roster they passed out at the media seats. Chris Smith's name was not on there. So they didn't even acknowledge his existence going into the game.
Those get printed early in the week, and they usually got to get a Sharpie out and add them on. I think my thing going into the fourth quarter, you know, as the Raiders had that lead, you know, was like, no matter what happens, I mean, obviously, if they had collapsed down the stretch, I mean, everybody would have been, you know, devastated and all that. But like, no matter what, my standpoint at that point was like, this team has earned the Chiefs' respect. I mean, they went out, and the Chiefs, I think after this game, have to know that the Raiders are not going to be an easy out. And, you know, maybe they still don't have, they still have, you know, some talent deficiencies to make up. But if they can put up more performances like this, I mean, there's no reason why the Raiders shouldn't be a playoff team, and that this win shouldn't raise expectations a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders have guys who are tough, you know, matchup guys. I mean, tough. They have some offensive players who are really good, who definitely other teams have to be really worried about. And that's kind of it's been a while since that's happened here, so I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it just shows, you know, if the defense could just be a little below average and not terrible, this team has a chance to be in every game. And you're going to play Tampa Bay at 3-2, and they're going to play the Browns next, who are 4-1, but they aren't, I don't think these are two upper echelon, you know, elite of the elite top five teams. So yeah, we'll see what they can do with this bye week coming up.
Yeah, I think emerging 3-2 out of the toughest part of their schedule, I mean, you have to consider that a major win. I mean, I had them with a losing record through the first five games. I figure most people did. So it doesn't guarantee that they'll, you know, keep up this level of play for the entire season, but this is about as good of a start as you could have hoped for.
Gruden's been super positive, and he's pointing out, like, and people kind of scoffed at it, but they actually were in their two losses. They were in the game against the Patriots for a while. They came back and were in the game against the Bills, so they had a chance to do some damage late at the fumble. So they've actually been in every game this year. So if you're building a young team, a team that you want to get some confidence, that's what he's been doing. And he's kind of built them up to this point today where things really all came together. So I think his message, I'm sure, to the players is like, hey, see what I'm talking about? This is what I'm talking about. We can do whatever we want to do. We have the pieces we need to get wins in this league.
You know, it was weird. I think last week, you know, the way Derek kind of approached that post-game press conference when I'm sick of the losing and I've seen a lot of crap. It was almost kind of, I felt like his presser almost kind of casted more negativity than really there should have been after the 2-2 started. It seemed like he was so down, and that kind of made, you know, other people down. But obviously, I mean, 2-2 was never that terrible. Even 2-3, had they been there but played well today, wouldn't have been that terrible. But 3-2, you almost now go into the bye week kind of wishing you didn't have a bye week, that you could ride this momentum into playing the Buccaneers.
We got to give credit to John Gruden, too. He went for it twice on fourth down today, including the huge fourth down and inches on to seal the game. I think he could have easily punted it there, but I thought it was the right decision. And, yeah, I mean, when this team's aggressive, they could win games. I thought they were aggressive passing the ball downfield, aggressive on fourth down, and it paid off.
And the Pro Football Focus statisticians are going to be scratching their heads when they watch the tape. And it's funny because I think a lot of people kind of took that quote the wrong way. They're like, you know, because, well, hey, you did what they've been saying you should do. And I think he's basically acknowledging that. And he's just saying that they're going to be surprised when they see that he opened up and got aggressive and did what everybody's been begging him to do. And obviously it worked out well. And I mean, I think he knew this what had to happen to beat the Chiefs, and it worked out. So you got to give everybody credit for that. All right, guys. Well, it is bye week time. We will be back in the middle of the week to talk a little bit more about where this team is heading into the off week and set you up a little bit for when they take on Tom Brady and the Bucks. Obviously, a game that would have been so hyped if fans were going to be there, but still going to be an exciting one on, you know, on primetime in Las Vegas. Tom Brady coming in to take on the Raiders. And the Raiders will get to enjoy a little time off. And now that they're a little bit healthier, you know, we'll see if they can get Bryan Edwards back. Bucks game, that would obviously give their offense yet another weapon. But it should be a good opportunity to at least enjoy this win a little bit extra, because they certainly deserve to.
And normally they would get a chance to go somewhere for 3 or 4 days with the family and have some fun. But because they have a test every day, they're going to be stuck at home. But they can still enjoy the win at home and have maybe a backyard pool party or something.
Nope, no fines, nothing. They can't do anything. No celebrations.
They can't do a backyard pool party?
They can't risk it.
Just with the
family? They can't risk it.
What, family and friends?
The NFL's
family, not friends.
They got to avoid it at all costs.
Derek can get out there with the wife and kids, but if John Gruden tries to come over from next door, he's not allowed in.
No, but Derek will invite the other players over. There's those big pool basketball games you love so much.
I don't think so.
Dunking on Derek Carrier's
head. He wants to ruin these good vibes, man. Come on, Vic.
They're in a bubble. These semi-bubble. These players are all together all the time, aren't they? They can be in the backyard.
Nah, they weren't allowed to go to Waller's event. I don't think they're allowed to get together outside. I don't know.
All right. Well, that makes my point even more. So they can't party. They can't celebrate at all. So they'll be focused on the next game. They'll be locked into the next game since they can't celebrate.
They've played well in Vegas so far. You know, obviously last week got away from them, but it'd be a good opportunity to see what they can do against the Bucks.
Paul Gunther will have 2 weeks to prepare for Tom Brady. Whew.
All right, we'll talk to you guys again later this week.
Talk to you later.
Adios, muchachos. Ow.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.